Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, I think we need to kind of start with a question that we actually threw to Interior Secretary Doug Burgum. We had an exclusive interview with Interior Secretary Doug Burgum on the show here last week. Great conversation. And the question that we ended up bringing up with Interior Secretary Doug Burgum is, why is this time different? What's different about this time? And it stemmed off of some great conversations that we had in Libby earlier in the week. Well, I'll tell you what, speaking of Interior Secretaries, great now to have a former Trump Interior Secretary and, of course, your Western District Congressman, Ryan Zinke, in the house with us here on Montana Talks. Congressman, good to see you.
Great to be with you. You know, it's interesting about Doug Burgum, and there's differences between the 45 and the 47. And I think the three differences that I see is, you know, number one is when they came in, they fired every inspector general across day one. And these are the same people that investigated Trump. They investigated me, and their allegations that were false, but it was lawfare. And they looked at, you know, I can give you 1,000 examples. They fired. Secondly, the court's different. You know, when the 45, remember, President Trump had three Supreme Court justices during his first term, you know, that he put in, which largely shaped the court. During 45, the court was hostile. I mean, there was not a chance we'd get any relief from injunction from, let's say, you know, under, you know, a federal lower court ruling in Hawaii, for instance. You remember there was a Hawaiian judge way out there that said that we couldn't look at, you know, individuals from terrorist countries, and we had to allow them all in. And so, our policy was being thrown. At least this court is it's not conservative, but it's not hostile. And lastly, I think the team is really good. You know, Burgum is really good. He's from North Dakota. He's a business guy. You know, when I was secretary, I worked with him extensively as a governor. You know, I think that Chris Wright is really, really, really good. I think Rubio and his attention to South America and understanding the Monroe Doctrine has been a tremendous. You know, look at, you know, the Gaza peace treaty with Witkoff and Jared Kushner. You know, you look at the undersung heroes of the administration, both last and now, is Jared Kushner. I mean, he was really the force behind the NAFTA agreement, the force behind the Abraham, accords, and now with the Gaza peace treaty, he was front and center, you know, on behalf of the president.
It's remarkable how much this president, this team is accomplishing it. I was talking with some folks in Libby here recently, and it is just hard to keep up with everything that is being done every single day by President Trump and by his administration. Well, we're going to run to a quick break here on Montana Talks. This is your chance to call in. Congressman Zinke with us here for the full hour. This is a radio town hall meeting where you can call in, throw out a quick question or a comment with your congressman, and then get his reaction here live on the radio. Give us a call, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app.
It's October 22nd, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is Caps Lock Day, which first came to pass in 2000 when Derek Arnold of Iowa created the day as a way to poke fun at people who use this typing style, which means you're shouting. By the way, this script is typed in caps, so hey, Arnold, I'm not shouting. 1764, Princeton University in New Jersey received its charter. It was the British North America's fourth college devoted to the education of young men that became co-ed in 1969. Two Princeton grads served as U.S. presidents, James Madison, class of 1771, and Woodrow Wilson, class of 1879. Dying on this day in 1992, American actor and the star of the 1974 comedy Blazing Saddles, Cleavon Little.
I hereby assume the duties of the office of sheriff in and for the township of Rockridge.
I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
A message from FireSafe Montana. It has been indicated that Montana is headed towards a significant wildland fire season. Now is the time for you and your community to begin your fuel mitigation efforts. Neighborhood meetings, fuel mitigation around your property, planning escape routes, practicing the route. Right now is the time for action. Your local emergency management agency can be contacted for more information. This message brought to you by FireSafe Montana and aired by the Montana Broadcasters Association.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Congressman Ryan Zinke in the House here for the full hour, taking your phone calls or your messages on the Montana Talks app. So, Congressman Zinke, I was in Libby last week. We went out for the Charlie Kirk event, then we did a live show from a great coffee shop right on Highway 2. And so much optimism in Libby right now because of everything you're doing and the Republicans are doing, what Trump is doing right now to make mining in America great again, make our timber industry great again. But I had lunch with a friend afterwards, and he says, we've heard it all before. We get good news, and then another administration comes in, and then there's bad news. And so I threw out the question to Doug Burgum. I said, why is this time different? Because there is a difference this time with Donald J. Trump. But he mentioned how, well, the Republican Congress is now codifying a lot of these great things that the Trump team is doing. That's the difference this time around, one of the differences.
No, I think you're right. And, you know, I am very bullish on Libby. I think it's an undervalued community. You saw, you know, it's been hollowed out over the years. You live in a sea of trees. You can't cut one of them. There's, you know, we got some environmental judges that continue to harass and but, you know, overall, you know, Nomad has moved in to Libby. I think that's a great fit. There's other companies that want to because, you know, Libby's a great place to live. I mean, you have, you know, the outdoor experience, great people, you know, nice river. So I think Libby's undervalued. But I do think what we see is the House codifying what we can. Remember, we still have the Senate. Senate takes 60 votes. Reconciliation codified some of the policies. But a lot of it was rules that the Biden administration put in. And what one administration can do, another administration can undo. There's a rule process, and they're doing their part under the rules, and the House is doing our part, although there's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, I'm putting out a note on X right now. Hey, call into the show or message us on the Montana Talks app.
Well, also, I'm looking out the window. We're in the Flathead. You know, what a beautiful morning. And you have roots now. Yeah, now you're in the Flathead, but you have roots, longstanding roots here, right?
You know, it's been fun. Actually, I ran into a guy at the elections office yesterday because I wanted to make sure that I'm voting in these city elections because you got great candidates like Kiesa Davison.
Kiesa Davison. Say that four
mayor,
times.
Kiesa Davison. Kiesa. Yeah, I had coffee with Kiesa.
She's great, but you know other candidates. Look, you know, we don't need Portland. You know, up front, I'll just tell you what it is. We don't need Portland, and we don't need someone who's lied to the president. So at the end of the day, you know, I'm endorsing Kiesa. I think she's a great candidate. She's a grandma. She's a business person. But we need sound conservative, not crazy. We need conservative. Make sure the city runs well. And look, Kalispell has got a lot of challenges. You know, Kalispell's growing. You have infrastructure. But we need someone to guide that growth to make sure that Kalispell remains, a strong voice.
Yeah, it was great, though. So I'm at the elections office, you know, making sure I'm all good to go. And I run into, I think it was Rudy. I ran into Rudy. And I was like, oh, yeah, I've been doing the show from the Flathead since the summer. And so, because, you know, anyway, but it's been so fun to be here, working from up here, especially because, you know, my My great-great-grandpa, I think it would have been, homesteaded in Nirata. My grandpa was a great-grandpa was a railroader in Whitefish, and my grandpa was there. My dad grew up there.
Well, when the railroad was big in Whitefish. I grew up, it was railroad first, timber second. They had that aluminum plant. But yeah. Hey, getting back to, one is that this government shut down. It costs us $400 million a day. All right? And it's never a good idea. And you know, what are the protests for? We have to ask that, right? Is that I understand that people don't like, you know, President Trump and they want to protest against Trump. I fought for your right to protest. But what are you actually protesting for? You know, are you protesting for open borders? Are you protesting that we've shut down the southern border? Are you protesting that we're removing criminals from our community? Are you protesting the Gaza peace deal? Are you protesting illegal immigrants? Are you siding with them over law enforcement? And the Supreme Court once again, you know, was right in their decision that if Article 2, a president does have the authority to protect property and to make sure federal law is executed.
Yeah, with this ceasefire now crowd, well, President Trump delivered a ceasefire and he brought the hostages home. Instead of thanking President Trump in the streets of Missoula, they're out there still protesting Trump with these phony
protests. But I do appreciate that, by and large, the protests were peaceful. And so, you know,
that's an improvement.
As an American, look, you know, this is what, you know, your freedom of expression is all about. You know, look, express, but do it peacefully, do it respectfully. So, you know, I was grateful, at least in Montana, you know, largely it was that way. So
let's sneak in a caller before we get to the first break here. Let's go to Jackie. Jackie in Missoula, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning. I am a constituent in Missoula, and the concern and the question I have, you were talking about what we wanted, and basically what I would like to see is the rule of law. And concerning immigration, my understanding is that all persons have a right to the rule of law. My concern is that the people that I are picking up, contrary to your stating, don't you want the criminals off the streets or not, are not criminals.
All right, let's hold it right there. We'll get to that question right after the break. Thanks for the call.
Fox Sports Update.
And now it's time to recognize your 2025 NBA champion, Oklahoma City Thunder.
The seasons are changing. The NBA is back. Two games last night. The first one in the same place that last season ended, at Paycom Center in Oklahoma City, with the finals MVP.
Now, welcome to Center Court, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Okay, C, how we doing tonight? We good? On behalf of the organization, myself, my teammates, we just want to say thank you guys. You guys have been amazing. Since the moment we stepped there, the love has been unconditional. From when we were losing by 40 to winning by 40, you guys never wavered. And for that, we will never forget you guys. This ring is just as much ours as it is yours, and we love you guys. OKC, let's do it.
Last season's NBA Finals MVP, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, addressed the crowd and then went out and scored a team-high 35 points in the first game of the season. The Thunder and the Rockets went to overtime, then double overtime. First time in 20 years an NBA opening night game needed two overtimes. Three players fouled out, including Kevin Durant in his Rockets debut. Durant fouled Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with 2.3 seconds left. SGA then made two free throws, and the Thunder won the game by 1 point, 125-124. Chet Holmgren added 28 points for the reigning champs. Durant scored 23 in his Rockets debut. Houston got 39 points and 11 rebounds from Alperen Şengün. Second game on opening night saw the Warriors beat the Lakers in Los Angeles 119-109. Jimmy Butler led Golden State with 31 points. Steph Curry scored 23. The Warriors withstood 43 points from Luka Doncic, who just missed a triple-double with 12 rebounds and 9 assists. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Hi.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke, taking your phone calls, taking your messages, and more. Let's first go to our caller. I think it was Jackie.
Constituent.
Yeah.
From Missoula. So this is where I've always sat on immigration. I think there should be one big, beautiful door. And I love immigration, but I also love legal immigration. That means I want to know who's in this country. Are you here for economic? Are you here for political? I want to know who's in this country. And economic is different on that. But, you know, rule of law is ICE is performing their duty. They're performing their duty. We should be celebrating the fact that ICE is doing their duty under law.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting.
If you're here illegally, what happens is you go to a job site, there's drugs in the job site, they're not going to sort and select. You're hanging around, everyone's going to get on the bus. We've seen these things in Belgrade, we've seen them across Montana at these different sites. You show up, and look, not everyone in that workforce, you know, is doing right things. A lot of people are, but this administration has offered people deportation. They'll pay for it, and then you can come back in. But if you're here illegally, you're at risk of being deported, and then you will not be allowed to return.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting how Jackie was saying, well, what we were talking about, and I don't know if she was referencing the so-called No Kings protest, but she says, well, we're concerned about the rule of law. But then she says, but then simultaneously she says, well, I'm concerned that ICE is arresting people and deporting people that are not criminals. Anybody who broke into this country illegally is a criminal. And so, yeah, they're going after the worst of the worst initially here, the hardened criminals, the rapists, the murderers, and things like that. But, yeah, if they end up coming across other criminal illegal aliens in the process, yeah, those folks will be deported as well.
But I do recognize, look, there's a lot of people that are working and being value-added members of the community. Great. My advice is to deport, voluntarily, and then put an application to come back in because you have already proven yourself to be a good person and follow the law.
And in fact, I had a woman who lives here in the Flathead, and that very thing happened to her. She was in this country illegally with her family. They went back to Canada, and then they came back the right way. And now she's been living here legally as a legal American citizen. Next up on the phone lines, let's see. I think we've got Ann, another caller from Missoula. Ann in Missoula. Ann, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for your call.
Good morning, Ann. I want to know why you're not headed back to Washington to help us with this health care situation. I'm a retiree. I help take care of my grandson, and I need reasonably priced health care. And I'm very concerned about what is going on and how health care is something that you don't think is important.
Well, thank you. And the reason why I'm in Montana is the government's in a shutdown, and the Senate has voted 13 times not to open it up. And since you do care about health care, so do I, you should know that the plan that Chuck Schumer has removes $50 billion of rural health care, which is the largest, by the way, the largest funding for rural health care. And it goes to state blocks. So actually, Montana, it goes to where it isn't Chicago, it isn't New York, it isn't San Francisco figuring out how to do this in Montana. It's Montana's figuring out. So, I'm waiting for Chuck Schumer and his gang to stop this nonsense, quite frankly, and get on and protect the $50 billion that was in the one big beautiful bill for rural health care. And if you want to talk about health care, not my area of expertise, but I follow it, we got to bring the cost down.
Well, you sure didn't support Obamacare, which has wreaked all this havoc on our healthcare industry.
And then there's some things that Obamacare, they did. Not all of it was bad, but Obamacare was supposed to fix it. It didn't. It was supposed to get people off the rolls for Medicaid, and it didn't. And so Obamacare is up 60%. Medicaid is up more. And so, you know, I think all of us want to fix it. So, you know, government should be the last resort, not the first. But when it is the last resort, it's the safety net. So the safety net has to work.
Yeah, if I was the caller, if I was Ann in Missoula. By the way, our producer, Caden, he said his phone screen froze up on him. So if you're listening and you were on the phone lines, call right back in. Call back in because we definitely want to get to you. 406-294-0970. Call back in if we had you on the phone lines and then we lost
but
you.
But the good thing about being a representative is, you know what, you represent everybody. So if you're not willing to listen, you shouldn't take the job. The other thing is if you're not willing to talk to people, because you do represent, and I represent Republicans, Democrats, Independents, red, white, and blue, you know, but I try to say, look, you know, I'll listen to everybody. The path we have to take is, as a country, we got to address, you know, $36 trillion in debt. The bus is full. It's going up the hill. So if you want to add something more on the bus, you got to take something off. And we should, as a country, determine the priorities where our spending is. But we also have to watch, you know, where we're spending the money. Let's get rid of the fraud, waste, and abuse first. Healthcare. My opinion is we should be focusing on access, on making sure affordability, but we also should focus on removing the fraud, waste, and abuse in the system. That everyone should be rallied around because it makes more funds available for people that really need it.
Yeah. You know, good question, though, from Ann in Missoula, though, which is, hey, why isn't that, you know, why aren't they back in Washington right now? Well, Chuck Schumer shut down the government. And so, but the moment that the Democrats end the government shutdown, boom, they're ready to roll. I guess if I was Ann in Missoula, I would pick up the phone and call State Senator Cora Newman, a Democrat out of Bozeman, who just did a PR stunt with Patty Murray, the Democrat senator from Washington. Tell Cora Newman to call Patty Murray and end this government shutdown. That would seem to be one of the most effective calls you could make right now. But
and look, it costs us $400 million a day. And look, there's a lot of really good people that are getting hurt. The government services aren't available. And if you want to follow the Constitution, if you want to talk about health care, you want to talk about defense, you want to talk about Gaza, you want to talk about, you know, Argentina, then there's a process. It's called the United States Congress. And while the government shut down this place, even the staff members are not getting paid. And so it's difficult. It's difficult also to address local issues like Brazilian cows. You know, coming in with JBS, you know, for Montana, you know, look, you know, America first is America beef first. And how I read that is Montana beef first. So, you know, we've asked the president to, you know, reconsider some actions. But look, we need a healthy and vibrant cattle industry, along with poultry industry, along with pigs, for food security, because national security is food security, and you know, healthy Montanan ag across the board is part of that national security. So
I'm glad you brought that topic up. I was going to bring it up, but one of the callers we had on was Tom in Hamilton, who wanted to ask about President Trump's recent comments on Argentina and beef. This was because this was kind of the first big beef that the beef industry had here, were those remarks. But, yeah, you put it there first. It doesn't get more America first than American beef.
And I can see, you know, the prices are high. So if you're a consumer, right, and you're looking at, oh my gosh, you know,
how do I
bring it down? Do I? It's a supply and demand. You know, he looks at OPEC. You know, how do I bring the price down, which is below 60 barrels a day? So it's bringing the market. But when you do that, you just have to be really careful and make sure that you support and defend you know, the American first ideals, which is our food chain, our supply chain needs to be healthy. And we had years of drought, and there's some reason behind it. But this focus on making our supply chain, you know, healthy and competitive globally.
Great question just came in on the Montana Talks app from Cameron in Billings. Does Mr. Zinke believe that the Gaza peace deal will stay intact after the last round of assaults post-agreement? I'm assuming the reference is to the Hamas terrorists attacking their own Palestinian people. We'll get to that here in a second. But first, another Missoula caller on the phone lines. Kathy, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yes, I'm wondering why Representative Zinke hasn't signed the discharge petition for the Epstein files.
All right, Kathy, thanks for the call. So the Epstein files, it's interesting how the same people that never said squat about Epstein before, now all of a sudden they want to talk about Epstein. That's kind of curious. But also,
I think we should release it all. The only parts
that should be held
are, there's a law for victims. A lot of these victims were underage. And there are, you know, lawful legal protections. This is what the law has said. And so we abide by the law for victims. As far as the other villainous people that associated with that criminal element, release it all. Yeah, release it all. So the House has offered not only to release what the DOJ has, but release the transcripts that the House has for their subpoenas. So, you know, I'm for releasing it all.
Yeah, and even some of the liberal judges that had some of these cases haven't released all the documents. But sometimes it's to protect victims, which certainly needs to happen.
And that's the only provision that I see on the victims of the crime. There is a law that their protection. They can individually, you know, they can. You know, sidestep it, but we're following, the administration is following the law. I'm for releasing it all.
30 seconds, your thoughts on the peace deal, the Gaza peace deal. Will it stay intact?
Well, you know, this is not the first time Hamas has violated a peace deal. There's been peace deals in place for forever. October 7th was a peace deal. So I surmise that Hamas, it's difficult to segregate the population of Gaza from Hamas. Because in many ways they're one and the same. Are they going to disarm? My optimism is, I think, an international peacekeeping force, given those at stake. And look, this is the first time you had, Turkey coming in and regional powers coming in.
Hold that thought. We'll talk more right after the break. Plus, we'll get to Jason and Poser.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Right now, but you can message us on the Montana Talks app. I definitely want to go back to Congressman Zinke to talk more about Gaza and the peace deal, President Trump getting the hostages home. But first, let's go to Jason and Polson, because I think he's got an Israel comment here. Jason, thanks for the call. What's your quick question or comment for the congressman? Is he no longer there? Is that Jason or is that somebody else? Thought we had Jason on the phone lines. It could be Wayne in Kalispell. Could be Mark. Oh, maybe we lost Jason. Is it Mark or Roger maybe? Well, either way, Congressman, go ahead. We'll see who we got on the line.
I do think there's going to be violations throughout the process in Gaza. I fully anticipate that. And I think all sides do. But I think the trend lines is positive. I think there will be, again, back and forth. A lot of it is that you got to create a future for the Palestinians in Gaza, and hopefully the rebuilding part, of it, to create, a better future than learning how to count to 10 by 10 dead Israeli defense soldiers. There's got to be a better future. So I'm optimistic in Gaza, primarily because it's the first time that you had, regional powers, all come together. To including Israel to put down, some definitive, points for peace and a roadmap, out of nowhere.
Let me check back in with the caller here. Is that Jason and Polson? Are you there on the phone lines with us? Might have lost him, or it could be Mark in Fort Benton or Roger in Billings, but not hearing anything. Okay.
We're popular today.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the phone lines filled up really fast there. Okay, Caden, go ahead and send us Wayne in Kalispell next. The phone lines quickly filled up there.
But, a point about, Montana beef, look, America first is America beef first is Montana beef first. The supply chain's important. But we can't really, address that congressionally until we're back in business. So even those local issues, the shutdown, because you don't have the committee staff, there's a lot of things you don't have, and there's a process. And so the process of getting things done is now on hold. through the government shutdown. So it has real consequences.
Let's see. I think we've got Wayne in Kalispell now with us on the phone lines. Wayne, did you have a quick question or comment?
Wayne, good morning.
Yeah, I do. Good morning. Actually, I'm a refugee from that great state of California.
Welcome aboard.
Well, it's been 20 years, but still. I just wanted to address the health care issue. I was on the fire department there for 31 years, and the last 10 years or so, I worked at dispatch. And I can tell you the health care problem was directly linked to the immigration problem. When I started on the fire department in 1980, probably the majority of our calls were fire-related. By the time I left in 2011, it was 90% medical. And I would say out of that 90%, three-fourths of them were not citizen.
You know, it's crazy. Wayne, thanks for the call. New York City right now.
But here's front line. Here's front line of someone who knows. But actually, and thank you for your service, but someone who knows it sees it. And this is not unfiltered. This is unfiltered data at the front line. And thank you for calling. But you're exactly right. You look at the healthcare costs. You know, one of the big issues is, you know, and this is where the one big, beautiful bill addressed that, looking at the rolls on healthcare of what are we paying for as taxpayers? And we are. We're paying for illegal immigrants on health care. And there should be a net, I get that, but the net shouldn't be that this is now the policy of the United States to pay for everyone's health care needs, citizen or no citizen. That's not viable.
All right. Yeah, it looks like we might have dropped a call or two by accident. Sometimes our system will get flooded when we have. Actually, it looks like we've got Mark in Fort Benton now. Mark, are you there? Mark, go ahead. You're on with Congressman Zinke.
Yes. Hello, Aaron and Wayne. Thank you for your service.
Well, Fort Benton's one of our favorite towns, I got to tell you, because not many people recognize that, you know, one of our governors, he spent the last few moments of his life on a river there off of a gambling barge.
General Thomas Francis Marr,
absolutely.
The Irish Brigade. What a legend.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, I was so glad when Tim Sheehy came here when he was campaigning for Senate, and glad to meet him in person and ask him a couple of questions.
Yeah, he's sharp. He's a young, what I call a young gun, and Montana is lucky to have such a talented kid. As well as, you know, now he's a kid, right? He's 38 years old, but he's a senator, SEAL, just a real special type of guy.
Well, just like yourself. So, well, thank you for taking this call. And here's the questions quickly. I would think that between the Senate, the Congress, Republican representatives, I'm talking about, and senators, and President Trump would have enough negotiating sense to get those Democrats that aren't switching over to voting yes to open the government, meet with them directly and negotiate something that they would be happy to vote for opening the government. I just can't believe the negotiating power we have that isn't being used, I don't think. Maybe I'm missing something.
Well, the thing that I find interesting is, okay, they had their big party this weekend. They had their big so-called No Kings party. Everybody thought that Schumer was waiting for that to take place, and then he would finally open up the government. But yet they're still digging in. They're still so afraid of their left-wing AOC base that Chuck Schumer and the Democrats are keeping the federal government shut down.
You got President Trump, which I think is the best, or if not one of the best negotiators, you know, that I've ever been associated with. And their position is hardened because they just want to fight. You know, and they just want to fight against Trump. And Trump derangement syndrome is absolutely real. But these people want to fight. And you ask them, well, what are you fighting for? They can tell you who they're fighting against. You know, that's President Trump. But when you ask them to fight for, you look at the signs in these protests over the weekend, you know, with climate change, abortion rights. You know, it's all over the map. Because they're not sure what. And this is why I think reason will prevail. I think they will. And look, we're willing to negotiate on anything, but not during a shutdown. You know, as a former Navy SEAL, you know, I don't negotiate with terrorists. So, you know, shutting the government down, I never agreed with it. I didn't agree with it as a secretary. I don't agree with it now. This is not the way to act as a responsible, you know, member of Congress. But the appropriation process, you know, in the Senate, you know, they have some talent there on the health care. Let's work together. If health care is your issue, I'm not sure it is. I think they just grabbed something that they thought they could get some traction, but I think America is figuring it out.
Wait, when we had Wayne and Kalispell calling, and Wayne, thanks for that call. He was talking about, you know, illegal aliens and the drain on public services and taxpayer funds in California. I mean, that's essentially Chuck Schumer is shutting down the government so they can hand up, you know, your taxpayer dollars to illegal aliens. But New York City, Jeremy Carl shared this the other day. New York City, 32% of public housing in New York City is currently occupied by people born outside the U.S. And so it's just crazy when you look at those numbers. So with the Schumer shutdown still going on, you've been able to instead travel the district, travel the Western Congressional District. I know you've been meeting with county commissioners. What are some of the things you're seeing and hearing? Maybe some of the challenges that still need to be met when things do get fully back up and running, or the things that President Trump is doing right now to meet some of these challenges, especially in your Western Congressional District.
Well, the good thing is float around county commissioners, because the way that I've kind of, it's not my first rodeo, is, you know, the federal government takes care of their stuff to a degree. You know, we have pretty good federal roads and highways, and one could say not as good as they should, but they do pretty good. And then the state does the same with their assets and their roads. But the folks that are really hurting are the counties. I mean, if you look at Noxon Bridge, there's a hole the size of a trash can lid. Sealy Lake doesn't have a sewer system. It's hard to put in affordable housing in Sealy Lake when you don't have a sewer system. Evergreen doesn't have a sewer system. So, you know, in the valley, every 20 years when we get a flood, you get one big flush that goes into the lake. So there's basic infrastructure that I look at. I talk to the sheriffs. We need an upgrade at our jail. As you know, you walk through there, some is policy, but a lot of it is just facilities. You know, so there's things that we need to be done, that we need to do together. But for me, it's going to the county commissioners and meeting with them. And I should be aligned to county commissioners, whether it's Missoula County or Gallatin, the Flathead.
Yeah, you know, it was so interesting being in Lincoln County and being in Libby. I got a chance to chat with the superintendent of schools. They went from 3,000 kids in the schools to 1,000 kids in the Libby schools. And to me, that's what, when we talk about making our timber industry great again, making mining in America great again, it's also about getting more kids in those schools. Quick break.
And tax base.
That's right. And tax revenue. To build those bridges as well. All right, quick break. Back with Congressman Zinke. Just a quick few minutes left. More of your calls next.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Sean Kennedy constructed the modern-day Rose Garden. Gerald Ford installed an outdoor swimming pool. In 1993, Bill Clinton undertook a restoration and, you know, the refurbishment of, you know, I guess tennis courts at the time of the executive mansion. Barack Obama resurfaced the South Ground tennis court into a basketball court, added the White House kitchen garden on the South Lawn. And this left goes crazy because they can't get, this is like they have to wake up every day and they need their fix. They're like drug addicts. Their drug of choice is hating Donald Trump and all things Donald Trump. And they can't stop themselves.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
According to a 2022 FBI statistic, less than 0.01% of all altercations require a lethal response. Now, think about that. We all have a safety plan. If you don't, you need one that includes firearms. That's only necessary less than 1% of the time. So what is your new plan for 99.99% of the time? Well, you can start with the Byrna Launcher, BYRNA. It's the less lethal launcher that can de-escalate any situation for 99% of any altercations. Now, the new Byrna Compact Launcher is the smallest, less lethal option to date. It's concealable anywhere. It fires powerful kinetic rounds, tear gas, pepper spray. It also can stop an attacker for up to 40 minutes. No background checks, legal in all 50 states. It ships straight to your door, burner, because your first line of defense should always be less lethal. Just go to BYRNA.com today and find the right launcher for you and your family to be safe. That's BYRNA.com.
Fox rocks.
I'm Tanya J. Powers. Foo Fighters founder Dave Grohl and his wife Jordan Blum made their first red carpet appearance together at a formal event since it was revealed that he fathered a child outside their 21-year marriage. They attended a gala in Los Angeles on Saturday. Last year, Grohl revealed in a post on Instagram that he had welcomed a fourth child with a woman who was not his wife. Limp Bizkit bass player Sam Rivers has died, according to social media posts by his bandmates. They did not say where the 48-year-old Rivers died or how, calling him, quote, the soul in the sound. Rivers left the band in 2015, but reunited with them 3 years later. Limp Bizkit is set to begin a tour of Central and South America in November. And Rush is expanding its 50th anniversary tour of North America. 17 new dates have been added in cities including Philadelphia, Detroit, and Boston. All of the previously announced dates were sold out, and pre-sales for the added ones start next Monday. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, good question. Good question that came in. This came in through a call-in message from Rod in Kalispell. Why isn't Congress using the nuclear option to end the shutdown? Should they just end the filibuster to force an end to the government shutdown, the Schumer shutdown? Interesting question from Rod in Kalispell. Let's go first into the phone lines. We're just about out of time. Fran in Missoula. Great to have another Missoula caller. Fran, did you have a quick question or comment? Fran, are you there?
Hello, Fran.
Okay, I'm not hearing Fran. Maybe Fran couldn't stick with us through the break. But basically, she said something to our producer, Caden, about getting the government open and running again. That kind of ties into Rod's question. So I think even...
Oh, the filibuster. You know, I'm from a House perspective. All right, I like the House. The House, I get a report card every 2 years. It's always rough and rumble. And you know, House is a 2 year contract. The Senate is six to life because a lot of those members in there are probably past their prime. Sheehy and Dane's, you know, part of the exception. But Senate rules, you know, you can go back and forth. You know, is it a provision that protects the minority interests? Does it slow it down? Is it in the honor of George Washington's comment that the House is the teacup that spills over the saucer, and the Senate is the saucer that slows things down? That this is a Senate. I surmise, you know, things like, you know, holding back justice appointments and those type of things, things like holding hostages at every juncture. At some point in time, and maybe this is it, that the nuclear option is executed, because otherwise it just grinds to a halt. Remember, in the Trump administration, both 45 and 47, I mean, the amount of time, when I have to look at whether it's a record, but it certainly must be close. We spent a lot of time in shutdown. So the obstructionists, you know, on there trying to stop, you know, a duly appointed, you know, administration on the cabinets, and then of course the elected, you know, our executive, just to stop it by government shutdown. The consequence of it, if it continues, then the nuclear option becomes more attractive over time.
Real quick here before we get some final thoughts from Congressman Zinke. He was talking about, you know, bridges and sewer systems and plumbing. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're looking for a plumber at your house, or if you're a plumber and you're looking for a great employer, if you are a journeyman plumber and you want to work and live in the Billings, Bridger, Red Lodge, or Columbus areas, get a hold of Ron Gunn. Veteran-owned family business. Ron Gunn is the owner of High Caliber Plumbing. And so, yeah, if you're looking for a job as a journeyman plumber, get a hold of him at highcaliberplumbing.com, highcaliberplumbing.com. Or if you need a plumber, both of his boys work for the company as plumbers as well, and they are officially certified to install those Rinnai tankless water heaters for you as well. So check them out, HighCaliberPlumbing.com. Congressman Zinke, I do come
from three generations of plumbers.
I forgot that.
My grandfather was a master plumber. My dad was a plumber. My brother was a plumber. Yeah.
That's why you understand.
Great business, by the way.
That's why you understand the flathead lake levels and how.
It's that simple, right? You got a faucet, you got a bathtub, you got a drain.
So how soon before this government, when do you think Schumer will finally decide that they need to end this government shutdown?
Well, there's a couple sticking points. So one is I'm hopeful that we end this nightmare Halloween at midnight because November 1st has consequences. A lot of the staff, a lot of people are paid bi-monthly. Or a monthly, so missing in their paycheck, and the government, you know, a lot of these people are sitting behind their desks, but they're not getting paid, and you know the economy's not that great, they're not making that much money, and miss a couple payments makes a big difference. It's a car payment, and you know, messing with pay, you know, as a former commander, there's a couple of things you don't mess with a sailor, and that's his pay.
Yeah, that's right.
Because when
you
mess with the sailor's pay, you mess with the family's pay.
You mess with the family, that's
so
right.
I'm hoping that one November we end this.
All right, we're out of time for today, but I just realized I'll see you next week in Washington. We're going to be doing the show live from Senator Dane's office for Montana Coffee, so I'll see you 1 week from today.
Plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.
Substance use disorder and addiction is so isolating. And so as a Black woman in recovery, hope must be loud. It grows louder when you ask for help and you're vulnerable. It is the thread that lets you know that no matter what happens, you will be okay.
When we learn the power of hope, recovery is possible. Find out how at startwithhope.com. Brought to you by the National Council for Mental Well-Being, Shatterproof, and the Ad Council.
KBUL.